Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at what the Roman Catholic Church teaches on the subject of justification. In our study today, we want to focus on the role of the Church in justification in Roman Catholic theology. Carl Keating, a Roman Catholic Church apologist, in his work, What Catholics Really Believe, Setting the Record Straight, on page 112, writes, Catholics are required to hold and to believe all the declared doctrines of the Church. So it's binding upon a member of the Church to hold all the declared doctrines of the Church, what the Church teaches. So truly, in Roman Catholic theology, there's no salvation or belief outside of what the Roman Catholic Church holds to. Catholics are also required to submit to the decrees of the Pope. And in a later study, we'll look at the authority of the Pope in Roman Catholic theology. Now, quoting from the New Catholic Encyclopedia and describing the role of the Church, and this quote should help you in understanding the role that the Church plays in justification. And in reference to the role of the Church, it writes, it discharges its mission by dispensing the sacraments and other means of sanctification. Justification then also becomes a necessary relation to the seven sacraments to which Christ applies a particular person, the fruits of redemption. Now, the reason I read this quote is because it brings out the idea that justification is tied to the seven sacraments, which we looked at in our last study, are baptism, communion, confirmation, penance, last rites, matrimony, and ordination. And these sacraments are means of grace by which God dispenses his grace into the soul of a person, basically enabling them to do good works or to help them maintain a right standing before God. Now here, the Church is the one that dispenses the sacraments. So basically, if you analyze it properly, what the Catholic Church has is that they are the ones that dispense the grace of God through the sacraments. And they also teach that justification is tied to the sacrament. So in reality, a person's justification is directly tied to the Roman Catholic Church. Not even the Church, but the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this is a direct violation of what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, which reads, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In Roman Catholic theology, they become the mediator between God and man, because if man wants to be justified, he needs to receive the grace which is dispensed by the sacraments. Let's analyze that in light of a couple other passages of Scripture. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the individual member needs to believe everything that the Church teaches and that the Church is the means of grace. Actually, we are told as believers to protect ourselves is to analyze anything any member of the Church teaches, whether that is an individual member or someone with some position or title in the Church. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Then he says in verse 21, Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Here we are exhorted as individual members of the body, no matter what person may say or whatever they may say is from God, we are to test all things and we're to hold fast to what is good. And a very clear passage in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And this is where Paul and Silas were ministering in Berea, and the individuals that were listening to Paul the Apostle analyzed what he was saying to see if what he was saying was true. Verse 11 reads this way, These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So here these individuals are commended because they went to the Scriptures to see if what Paul the Apostle and Silas were saying were true and accurate and lined up with what the Word of God teaches. So they were not required, as Carl Keating says, to hold and to believe all the declared doctrines of the Church. These people were commended because they analyzed from the Scripture to see if what even Paul the Apostle was saying was true. So what Roman Catholic theology actually maintains is that there's a blending of faith, grace, works, the sacraments, the Church, all these are inseparable and tied to salvation. And I want to quote once again something I quoted yesterday from Dr. Ludwig Ott in Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, which is a standard Catholic work, in relationship to the sacraments. He writes, The sacraments are the means appointed by God for attainment of eternal salvation. Three of them are in the ordinary way of salvation, so necessary that without their use, salvation cannot be attained. That is baptism, penance, and holy orders. Now, here's what you have to perceive in this, is that the Roman Catholic Church actually has a stranglehold upon its people, that they have to go to church to obtain salvation. Because the priest is the one that receives holy orders as one of the sacraments. The Mass could only be performed by a priest. Confession could only be heard by a priest, as well as the other sacraments only can be distributed by a priest. So that means man is dependent upon another man, a priest, or some other leader in the Roman Catholic Church to receive the sacraments or the means of grace, which basically is stating that man outside of the Roman Catholic Church is cut off from the means of grace or access to the grace of God. And that's why the strong statement that the sacraments are the means appointed by God for the attainment of eternal salvation. Let me describe how this could work out in the daily life of a Roman Catholic. They need to go to the Mass where they could receive the Eucharist in order to receive the grace there. And that Mass could only be performed by a priest who's been appointed and ordained by the Roman Catholic Church. So the Mass could not be said by an individual member of the body of Christ. So that means they're cut off from the Eucharist as a means of grace. Also, when a Roman Catholic commits a mortal sin, they are no longer in a state of grace. And what they need to do in order to get back to a state of grace is to go to confession and do penance. Now, only a priest could hear a person's confession, and only a priest could give someone else penance. So that means they are dependent upon another man to hear their confession and then receive the penance or the works that they need to do in order to receive that forgiveness and then be back in a state of grace in God's eyes. So you need to see that the Roman Catholic Church has set themselves up as the mediator between God and man. Now, they may not claim that in their own writings, but that's in essence what has happened. Because in order to receive grace, you need to receive it through the sacraments. In order to receive the sacraments, it must be dispensed through a Roman Catholic priest. So that means you are dependent upon the church to receive the grace of God. And that is why Roman Catholics will go to church, because if they miss Mass on a Sunday, they've committed a mortal sin, and they're no longer in a state of grace. See that stranglehold that it is? So it's not a relationship of love where you go to church because you want to, or you do the right things because you desire to be pleasing to the Lord because he's been so gracious and kind to you. It's motivation out of fear and guilt and out of judgment rather than out of mercy. I love what Paul says in Corinthians, that he says it's the love of Christ that constrained him. That should be the motivating force in our relationship with the Lord, not fear, guilt, judgment, and condemnation. I love what Paul also says in Romans 8, verse 1, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when we understand that we're under no condemnation, that the price has been paid for our sin, our mind and heart doesn't say, oh, now I could go and live any way that I want. No, our heart is turned to God because of his wonderful grace and mercy that now we desire, because the law has been written on our heart, to live a life in accordance with his plans and his purposes. Let me conclude our study this week with this warning, and this could be for someone that's in a Protestant church as well as a Catholic church. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus told a parable of the wedding feast, where individuals were called to come into this king's wedding feast, and as the people came in, they were given a garment to wear. And let me read from Matthew 22, verse 11 through 14. It says, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him, hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" That's obviously a person that gets to the judgment seat of God and is rejected and sent into eternal hell. That's because he did not have the right robe on. And that's a picture of someone that's coming to God based on their own works, based on their own merits. So as a Roman Catholic, if you're trying to follow the teaching and the edicts of the church and think that you're going to make it because of your own goodness, you're like this individual coming before God with the wrong garment on when we cast aside. Jesus said many are going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this or that in your name?" You're going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those that come to God must come to him humbly and receive his grace and mercy and acknowledge that salvation is a gift of God and it's not by works. As the scripture says, if you're going to boast, you boast in the Lord. Those who boast in the Lord realize that salvation is not from man or his own works, but simply by the grace of God. In our future studies on the Roman Catholic Church, we're going to be looking at their theology, analyzing it in light of scripture. I have a lot that I want to pass on and teach and minister to you, and we will take as long as we need to on the subject, because I believe that it's one that we're hoping will help many in relationship to how to be more effective in ministering to Roman Catholics, as well as challenge those that are in the Roman Catholic Church today. I hope that these five studies have helped you, and you're further equipped to do the work of the ministry.